The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt due to the Fed.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Dangerous World Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dean, and I have a very fun conversation with a fella named Ron Weed, and he's a great dude. This was his first time being on a podcast, and he was a little nervous in the beginning, but, you know, I loosen him up as I tend to do, and it was just a great, great conversation. We talk about selling your soul to the devil. We talk about numerology and gematria a little bit. He has this fascinating concept. And, you know, it adds up, literally. 0 through 9, you take those numbers, you take the odd numbers, which, you know, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. That's masculine energy. And what's the first one? It's 1. That looks like a phallus, right? It looks like a dick. We tie this in much, much better later in the episode. 0, 2, 4, 6, 8. 0 being the first even number. 0 kind of looks like a woman part, right? I'm not going to say which one, but there's this idea of the rainbow. When you line 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 up, you add all these numbers up from the outside to inside. They all add up to 9. And I mean, I'm gonna do a quick little video for Instagram to break this down in a more visual fashion. It's interesting though, the thoughts that this guy brings to the table. He claims that he had an experience with gray aliens and also reptilians. His father, who was a member of the armed forces, a navyman, a seaman, I think is the proper term. And very accomplished guy, very, very, see, these are the things to me that are interesting. Usually I do tons and tons of research for my episodes. And this one, I simply listened and I asked questions. And I always try to bring unique listening experiences. But I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of selfish with some of these episodes, and I try to just learn things myself, and I learn quite a bit here. So I hope that you guys do too. But I want to keep this intro very short. I'm just going to plug the Patreon as always. You know that it's patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. $3, $5, or $10. You get extended versions of all of these episodes, including this one, about 37 other ones. Fun stuff that we do in this episode in particular. You're going to get about 45 minutes extra. Also the website where you can buy your merch. We got dangerousworldstore.com, $17.76 for each shirt. Government is the virus shirt is a crowd pleaser. It's selling like, not hotcakes, but I don't know what it's selling. It's selling good. And a lot of people like this because you make friends in the real world. Free shipping on that side as well. And I feel very, very grateful to manscaped.com as well. Your promo code at manscaped.com if you want to trim those nuts up or your face. You know, the razor doesn't know what it's shaving. I'll tell you that. It's an intelligent razor, but it's not that smart. It doesn't know the difference between ball skin and face skin. Okay. Your promo code over there is danger if you want 20% off and free shipping. So quick plug for them. But yeah, guys, Ron Weed here, he brings some very, very interesting information. One of the most profound things that I think he says is the idea that these elites want people to be atheists, because if you create a population of atheists, you create a population that does not think outside the box. They think that they are confined to worldly possibilities. And I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I agree with a lot of the shit that he says. You know, him and I go back and forth a little bit and we have a fun talk. Again, I'm not really bringing any information. This is all Ron bringing this stuff forward. Tells a story about his dad, who's a very accomplished military member, a hero, you know, and it's a touching story. Honestly, I'm not just blowing smoke up the dude's skirt here. He is a, you can tell that his life has been very interesting, and he brought, he's kind of wearing his heart on his sleeve in this one, man. It's an emotional kind of thing. I'm very close with my father. I can't imagine losing my father as he did. You know, hearing things that he did from his father and relating them to real world experiences and using his father's loss, not in a selfish manner at all, but trying to gain knowledge from that traumatic experience. And he and Mr. Ron Weed has had several traumatic experiences, which you will hear about here. So we're going to get into it, guys. Thank you so much, and enjoy my conversation with Mr. Ron Weed. So first of all, Ron, how are you doing, man? I'm really glad that we're doing this right now.
Oh, I'm doing good, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be fun. Sounds like you got a pretty crazy story, and your family was all into this kind of stuff.
It was kind of something that just happened out of random. You know, it's nothing I really asked for. It was just, it just happens. One of those things you got to deal with.
Well, and so I mean, what kind of stuff are we getting into today? Because I know there's a few things on your mind as far as like what's going on currently, but I also wanted to kind of just give the audience here a rundown about what we're going to get into, you know, and the story of your father a little bit.
You know, I have an experience with reptilians and gray aliens. And my father is an enigmatic, I guess, man. And I kind of had a big fish moment at his funeral. He was a veteran. And usually when a veteran dies, they get the one flag thing, you know.
Part of the ceremony.
Ceremony, yeah, you know, for you know, in service and everything like that. And before the funeral happened, the funeral lady came up to us and she was like, hey, they're gonna present another flag, and who's it gonna go to? And we, you know, we picked our youngest sister Nikki, because she was in the Coast Guard. So yeah, and then, you know, it was kind of weird, but we didn't think too much, you know, because we're all, you know, sad or whatever. And
did he die serving? Did he die, you know, in combat or anything?
No, he died from lung cancer.
Gotcha. Well, sorry about your loss, dude. That's tough.
It's well, that's life, you know. He's sure. He accepted it, you know, pretty well and everything. And
so you got the second flag given to your youngest sister, who was in the Coast Guard. Didn't really pay too much attention to it initially, but then you started kind of thinking about why that was.
Oh, I mean, right away, because it was so weird. It was, you know, because it did it. The first, you know, they did it, the ceremony and everything like that. He says the words to my mom and kneels down, gives her the flag. And then he turns around and goes to pick up the second flag. And he walks over to my sister, who's to my left, and everything like that. And he says the words to her again, like, on behalf of the President of the United States, you know, and the Navy, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then they present the flag. I looked at his collar, and it was a eagle and a trident. And that's something that's like, you know, unmistakable, you know. And it kind of, I didn't see it at first until he was, you know, he did it to my sister, and I was like, what? Not only is it weird, there's like a second flag. It's like,
so you're speaking of, when you're referring to he here, who is he?
The guy who's presenting the flag.
Just part of the, some military official that was part of your father's funeral.
Mm-hmm, part of the funeral service.
Interesting. Okay.
And so that was, I was like, wow. And you know, that's like, it's like a big fish. I don't know if you ever seen that movie.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's saying, like, my dad used to always say, like, oh, you'll see it at my funeral. You know, just giving us a hard time or whatever.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And it was like, wow, something weird happened at his funeral. Because afterwards, people started coming up to me and asking me, like I knew what was going on. And they were like, wow, we've been to multiple funerals and multiple veteran funerals where they do the flag service, and there's always been one flag. So it was just kind of like it, a lot of people there were like, well, what even happened?
Yeah, that's a little interesting for sure. Because, I mean, what are your thoughts right away when you start seeing that the normal ceremony of the funeral is kind of changed for your father? I mean, I'm just curious what you guys thought and if you guys talked about it right when you left or what, like, what kind of thoughts go through your head when protocol is kind of broken like that?
Yeah, other people were saying it was, you know, they were being nice. Even my mom's asked, you know, friends, nobody seems to kind of know. It's not, there's really no answers. And it's one of those things where there's no pictures or video or something like that. It didn't happen. But there's, you know, my dad's was a pretty popular guy around our city. He was a really good swim coach. And, but also, so there was a lot of people there. Over 100 people saw it, you know. So,
very interesting. And the significance of it being a swim coach is because he was in the Navy, correct?
Oh, yeah. He was just, you know, always into swimming and stuff like that. I guess he had a rough childhood. Okay. So he would go and during the summer times out of school, he would basically just live in the woods. So he kind of, through that, he kind of, you know, when he turned 17, he enlisted to the Navy. And
he lived in the woods as a kid when he wasn't in school.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, as a teenager, you know.
Wow, dude. I mean, that's still weird. I mean, like, not weird, but it's like that's not something that I would have done. You know what I mean? That's a tough dude that can do that kind of thing.
Yes. And that's how he was into, like, he was a Boy Scout, you know.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah, so he would just do that, and just, he said he would just live out there, swim in the lakes, you know, party, you know, with a good life.
Interesting.
Because, you know, in those times, you know, there'd be, you know, instead of spankings, they'd beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, they were allowed to do that, dude. A lot of our parents' generation grew up like way harder than a lot of my generation, and then like the younger generations are fucked, dude.
Yeah.
They've never even been like slapped or hit or anything. You know what I mean? It's just, and that's good for people, dude. If you do something wrong, you should get like a small punishment, like a fucking backhand from your dad. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. 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 You know, so, it's not so much, you know, but,
not too much. Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And he's always, you know, had good relationships with like mafias, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. Cause, not like he was in it, but, you know, in the area he lived up in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Right in Pennsylvania. And, for instance, his, one of his stories was, this guy named Big Al, and he's, the kind of guy he,
this is not, and, the Big Al that they do in South Park, Big Gay Al, right?
No.
Okay.
yeah. He'd take the park bench and put it outside a store, and, you know, nobody would do nothing about it. And he'd walk around with wads of cash sticking out of his front shirt pocket. And my dad, as a kid, would ask him, hey, you know, this is a dangerous neighborhood. What are you doing walking around with that much money? And he'd be like, you know, this money's got insurance, kid.
Oh, shit.
You know, and for instance, good relations with mafia type people is because how he met this big I mean, Big Al.
I planted that in your head and now you're saying it.
Nice.
Big Al, not Big Gay. Big Al. He's Big Straight Al.
Big
Al.
Big Straight Al.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He, my dad was outside, got ice cream from the shop, like one scoop. And he, you know, as a kid, walked out and, or one or two scoops and the ice cream fell off his cone. So he's crying outside this guy's store and the guy comes up, yeah, what are you doing, kid? You know, crying over the ice cream. So he takes my dad back in the store and, you know, fills his ice cream like a big tower, you know.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Sends him out. So he would, he ended up working for the guy and like running packages and things like that. And not like, you know, anything like that, but like worked at a store, like legitimately. Maybe that I'm saying too much there.
No, I mean, hey, you know, I'm just interested. I think that these kinds of stories are always really cool when someone leads a really interesting life and then you kind of learn how they got to that point. I think that that's very, very interesting. So like, I mean, people might think that the idea of like him, this whole ice cream story doesn't have so much to do with like what we're talking about, but it's laying the foundation of what's, I mean, what the man ends up becoming, you know what I mean? It's very interesting. So what is the significance of this store owner? Do you know?
I guess he was I guess he ended up being like some mob boss.
Oh shit! Okay. Do you know what family?
No. So, but you know, I'm sure you know that's not. It probably don't matter anymore too much. But it was
And did your dad tell you this story? Is this how you know this, or was it a journal? Yeah.
It was just you know, he was just like, you know, because he was real into mafia movies and stuff like that. And, like,
sure.
Because the thing is, it's like with the mafia, like they're underhanding you and you know forcing you to pay extortion and stuff like that, but you know they go after people who hurt, you know, old people or kids.
So, yeah, instead of like our politicians hurting old people and kids, you know what I mean?
Like I was thinking about that, like how it's basically the most important thing in the world right now is the human trafficking problem.
Yeah.
And it's always been that way because I don't know how early did you get into like conspiracy stuff?
How early I did? I mean, back in I would say like eighth grade is when I really started kind of learning because you know 9/11, which just passed. We're recording this here on 9/12. This episode will be kind of coming out to the world the same day, but you know it was a weird time. Because as a child, I'm sitting there and I'm wondering why these people that I've never seen so upset, like my father, like my mother, my aunt and uncle were actually over, I guess technically step uncle, which is weird to say. I don't know how he was related, but there was two grown men that were pretty distraught. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, two grown women that were pretty distraught, too. And me and my cousin are 10 and 11 years old, I believe. And just a weird vibe to that whole thing. And I didn't think much about conspiracies as a 10-year-old. But then I start realizing in middle school when we learn about 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so the Saudi Arabians attacked the towers. And then we go and invade Afghanistan. Why? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then I started looking into it a little more. It's not like I, you know, was red-pilled on the whole thing in eighth grade with 9/11, like with, you know, Building 6 and 7 and Larry Silverstein and Vigilant Guard and all the other weird anomalies of the whole thing. But that was when it started, was about eighth grade. And just started really digging in high school, dude. Found out about the Federal Reserve. And I think that the first big one was, I mean, the most sexy one is the Illuminati. Everyone gets fascinated with that. So that's when I start digging. YouTube was coming out and it was kind of like the Wild West on YouTube. And you didn't really, there wasn't so much censorship. You could sit there and you could watch, like, this is a video of Beyonce shape-shifting. And it might've been bullshit, but it was fascinating. And that's what kind of got me into it. But what about you, dude? I always like wondering like where this kind of shit comes from, because you're pretty deep into it with gematria especially.
I always knew about like chi and stuff like that, you know, as a kid, because my dad was all into like kung fu mysticism, like tai chi and you know, why isn't this kind of stuff talked about openly?
Yeah. You know,
it's kind of like mainstream scientists like keeping that stuff down. But when I was 12 years old, I went through a deal with the devil type experience. And what happened is one night, I woke up and my entire room was like a bright neon like light. It's like imagining like a spotlight is at the window and it's just like illuminating like the whole room. Like the whole room is like, you know, like got some high end beam on it or something like that. You know,
it was like a white light or blue light, red.
It was green.
Green, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I have some theories on that and stuff too. And it was so I woke up and I didn't really think anything at first. Like, you know, I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on. It must be construction work outside or something. I don't know, right? I'm tired. I just want to go back to sleep. So
yeah,
I close my eyes and I kind of try to go back to sleep, you know, but then the light starts pulsing. Like, and I'm like, and then I kind of get upset. I get out of bed and I'm like, what's going on? You know, like I'm, you know, like this is weird and everything. And I see my older brother and my younger brother were in the room with me. I was the top bunk. My older brother was the bottom bunk and my youngest brother was, in a bed across by the window or the light, you know? And, so I'm yelling at them like, hey guys, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they're just not responding. And they kind of look like they were like frozen, like, you know, I don't know, like stasis mode types. I don't know how, you know, they were just kind of like frozen in time in a weird way. Like, and, you know, like, and, so now I'm like, what's going on? You know? And I go to the window, to the blind, and, as soon as I put my fingers on the blinds and go, you know, to go see what's going on outside, I get like a kind of like a jump scare in my mind of a little gray alien. Like what would you, you know, exactly what you would think it would look like, you know, like a, you know, gray alien, but like kind of, you know, and it was looking at me and it, you know, I guess looking at me through the blind. So immediately then, I fainted. I fell on my butt. Yeah. Cause I was, yeah, you know, I like a sheep, you know, or something. I just locked up. I was like, whoa.
Wow. That's interesting. So are you saying that you saw this in your mind and you knew that, or you physically saw this?
No, it was in my mind, like a jump scare. I never pulled the blinds down. It was like, as soon as I touched the blind, it was like, wow, like in my mind, like,
so it's almost like you're alien. Either seeing like in the future or you're seeing an alternate reality. Cause if you didn't pull the blinds down, you wouldn't be able to see what was outside. So you're literally just seeing this like in your mind's eye.
And that kind of comes in when I see an actual reptilian. I didn't see like what people say the Dracos are, I guess, cause I didn't make the deal or whatever, but I saw when I saw the reptilian, so when I fell down, right, I locked up, I fell down and I get up and now I'm like realizing like, holy shit, you know, yeah. like, this isn't right. This isn't like normal, you know, like everyone says it's a dream, but I was like, it was like, I wasn't even thinking anything, like, you know, it's like normal's day. Like I just gotta, you know, and then, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to run upstairs and get my dad, you know, get him like, you know, beat up some Martians, I guess, like, mm-hmm. Mars Attack style. But, I was just too scared, you know, like run or flight. And I just froze. And it's the most terrified I've ever been in my entire life. And it's like affected me throughout my life. Like, my roommates can attest to, like, I used to sleep with like the lights on sometimes, you know, cause I have, you know, it messed with me. But recently I got it. But so I'm just standing there and I'm trying to figure out what to do. And all of a sudden I start like getting like communication, you know, and I'm scared. So I don't remember exactly like every words and stuff, but it it started, you know, kind of like telling me that, don't worry, you know, this is, you're actually lucky. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, you know, this is, you know, we got you type energy. You know what I mean? It was telling me, you know, that it basically all I had to do was go with them and that they would guide me. They would help me through life and become rich and powerful and stuff like that, you know?
Oh, and, shit. I think I know where you're going with this, dude. Keep going, though. This is fascinating.
And so I'm like, okay, you know, because, yeah, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, wow. You know, kind of like I was never lucky throughout my life. Like even as a kid, I would never get lucky with things. So to me, I was like, well, yeah, awesome and everything. And so I'm like, okay, let's go. Right. You know? I'm not going to lie. I'm being real, you know, let's go. Let's give me some, give me the way, you know, but they were like, oh, but first you got to make a decision. And then the room kind of stretches out, you know, and everything like that, all like you're tripping, stuff like that. And I got where they were going with that, you know, because I had my one brother on one side of the room, my other brother on the other side of the room. They were like, choose a brother, you know, basically choose a brother.
To sacrifice.
Yeah.
And as a 12-year-old, you understood that this was like not the move.
Yeah, yeah, well, like, it, what it was is, you know, just being real in that moment, I was like, well, my one brother is diabetic. And so I had flashes and they're showing me, they're like really driving on that. They're, you know, because they're like, it's like.
They wanted to kill the diabetic one because it's like this kid's going to be like more of a burden on your family and blah, 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 mm-hmm. that kind of shit.
Yeah, it was, and I think this goes with like Neuralink kind of stuff, you know, how the communications and stuff like that goes.
So they were talking to you like through telepathy?
Yeah, yeah, it was all telepathic, and it was like kind of how that would go is like you're still visual, but then you're getting like these flashes in your mind you can kind of like dive into. So they were just like, you know, kind of like how they show you in The Grinch. I saw like myself like doing good things for people. Like I got a lot of money, I'm helping people and blah, blah, blah. Except they kind of point the note, like when I go to like a gathering, like my brother's not there, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I snapped out of the vision, you know? And, I was like, my life isn't more valuable than his, you know? So that's when they kind of got you know, they stopped being all charming, kind of got upset. Oh, but they said, you know, why are you doing this and stuff like that? And they're like, you know, think of all the things like that. And I think that's how they get some of these people. They preach it off as good. Like, think of all the good you can do, blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, like kind of like one of those big decisions, one life for however many life type things, you know. I said, this isn't good. This isn't what God would want, blah, blah, blah. And they said, where's God? They're like, why isn't God here? Why isn't God telling you anything and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. What is God? Like that, you know, kind of like putting God down. And then they go, maybe you were God, you know.
Oh, shit.
And I can see how maybe people, if they've gone through this experience like I did, they would have been like, wow, you guys are God because look what you're doing, you know? Wow, yeah, it's true. There is no God, you know? Oh, you guys are the real God. Like, maybe that's how they get these people to worship them and stuff like that, you know, because they're showing you.
Yeah, what made you think that, like, how did you realize this as a kid? Because you mentioned, which is fascinating, it's pretty noble of you to not make the sacrifice or not sacrifice one of your brothers despite... As in your own words, you said that you didn't really have the greatest childhood. You're pretty unlucky throughout your life and all this stuff. How did you realize that this wasn't a force that was trying to actually genuinely help you? Did you just feel it?
That moment. Because, I mean, when of course.
When they said kill. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what
makes
the
sense.
And so, and then when I finally said that to them, and I was like, I was like, "You're not God," you know. I kind of screamed, you know. I was like, "You're not God." I saw like what would look like a galaxy or a Milky Way type thing, and it was spinning one way, and it was like a red orange color, and it was like spinning one way, and then all of a sudden it starts spinning the other way, and it turns to like a dark purple kind of color. And and then it was weird because it even though it doesn't have a face or nothing like that, it's just like this galaxy thing. It felt like it was smiling at me. Like it was like I got a good feeling. I'm protected now. And I was like, okay, these things can't really mess with me, you know. That's why, you know, I was thinking. So I'm like, oh, I don't care. And at the same time, like it sounds like normal, but I was freaking out the whole time, you know, like I'm in like shock. I don't want to go through this. It's like a trauma thing. And, I get back in my bed, I climb back in my bed, and I'm like, I'm just going to sleep, you know, and I'll just wake up and everything will be normal and stuff like that, you know. Or, and I was also saying like, I'm losing my mind or whatever. This is just a dream and things like that. You know, I'm trying to cope with it in a weird way, you know? So I get back in my bed and get lay down. I close my eyes and, you know, try to go back to sleep and stuff. And all of a sudden I get another feeling and I'm in the top bunk. So I wake up and I look back, because I was like, I'm not, you know, at first I was like, I'm not going to open my eyes, but I opened my eyes and I looked, and I saw a reptilian thing walk in through the door, and then kind of like a soldier kind of like turn left, like real like robotically, and just like stare at me from like the foot of my bed. And it was like the holograph thing, like earlier with the mind's eye. I could both tell it wasn't there, and that I could, and at the same time see it in perfect detail. You know, it was like, it was like transparent, you know?
Interesting. And what did you feel like inside? Like you say, you got a feeling. Was it just like sadness
like a senses, you know, like, I guess like I could just like, I don't know. It was just like,
tell something was watching you.
Yeah. But yeah. Like that creepy feeling, you know?
Yeah. Everyone's felt that, dude. Yeah. It's very interesting that you actually could see something though.
Oh yeah. Well, this thing, when it came in, what it looks like is like, if you go online, you type in like a reptile alien, you know,
yeah.
It's basically like what you would think, like a humanoid looking reptile person,
like a lizard person type.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. And, its teeth, because it smirked at me, because it was like, come on kid, what are you doing, you know, blah blah blah. And
like join us. Yeah,
yes, yeah, smirked, and kind of like it kind of was like amused at the same time, you know, like you're one of these type, you know.
Interesting.
And it was what it looked like, its teeth were like shark teeth. I could see that they were like our teeth, but they were like tiny shark teeth. And but that's the thing, like I could see it and not see it at the same time, you know. That's the weird thing about it. But yeah, it was a reptile. So what I did, and I know people was like, how could you go back to sleep? I was like, what else am I gonna do?
Well, and like you said, it's one of those feelings where I think a lot of people feel this, where they feel that something's in the room with them, and they get a little scared. But for whatever reason, and I want to get back to your dad, which you started this whole thing off with a little bit, not necessarily right now, whenever, you know, you wrap up this portion of this, because I think that there's something in your genetics that makes it possible for you to actually possibly see into other dimensions. I don't know enough about this kind of stuff to really like say definitively why. Because again, everyone has felt that feeling, like, you know, you're not alone.
If
you've ever been walking around at night, or, you know, you're a little on edge and you're trying to go to sleep, and you just have this weird feeling like someone's looking at you. You know, there's that weird, I think it's a Beatles song talking about that. But I think that there's got to be something with genetics. I mean, you know, I don't know if your brothers or your sister have felt that. same kind of thing, and then also experience something that they felt was more physical. But yeah, dude, no, that's it's a weird, weird idea to think that. Like, it makes me think when I have that feeling, I wonder if there is some entity that's actually there, but it's in another dimension. I just don't have the ability to see it.
Mm-hmm. It's I don't know why. I mean, but yeah, I looked into my the ancestry thing, and I guess I found out my grandfather and great grandfather were Freemasons.
Yeah,
that kind of goes into the story in a little bit, but
yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I wanted you to finish this up. I just thought it was very interesting that I feel like it's very genetic.
Oh yeah, and I've read too, you know, that's why in this one book, Terminal List by Jack Carr, about the one scene where he's like, you're kind of using like your sixth sense, you know, like he, instead of just going for what you see, you know, a good hunter, you know, good. As I guess from our times when we had to survive out in the wild, we have to build up those kind of senses, you know, like way the way the air moved a little differently, you know, the way the light flickered a little, you know.
Yeah, it's transgenerational trauma or transgenerational knowledge. I mean, there's all kinds of different books and movies even on this kind of stuff. Jay-Z, I you know, kind of funny enough, he talks about that in a song where, like, you know, like the black people that are alive today, they have that mentality a little bit of like the slave mentality, in a sense. I'm not saying that black people still feel like they're slaves today, and they really shouldn't. I think that's actually it's kind of offensive when these younger black folks that are growing up, when things have never been better for black folks in, you know, throughout history, and they're trying to compare their little struggles today of the same that their ancestors went through. That's pretty fucked up, in my opinion. But they have that sense, because you're literally created from these memories that your ancestors had. And so am I. So is everyone alive. So there is something to be said about what you're saying right here. So yeah, dude, sorry, keep going. This is just really interesting to me. I've never really kind of dove into this kind of stuff.
Oh, I just, I basically just was like, okay, that's it. I'm not opening my eyes anymore. I just curled up into a little ball, you know? I'm like, dang, I want this to be like over with, you know? And the other things I remembered from it were, as I was doing that, not because the alien, it's like, because that's when you're communing with the telepathy, you can't even, I was trying to hide my own thoughts and stuff like that, you know? And when you're communicating like that, you can't hide anything. So it's like an open book. You know, you got like, you can't even, and then that's a weird feeling, is to not, you have to speak from your heart. And I, you know, I don't know if you know about the chakra type stuff.
A little bit, dude, but not as much as I wish. I actually just bought the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I know that doesn't really get into chakras a whole lot, that I don't know if it does or not, but yeah, I don't know much about that whole Eastern kind of religious aspect.
Like, heart is the green, like the green color, and the little chakra stuff is the heart. And when you think about a heart, earth, it's like an anagram, you know. Yeah, I just but also when I was laying there, that's what it was, I forgot, I could tell there was like humans. I kept getting like visions of like humans, kind of like I've seen like the Apollo movies, or like the, you know, where they're all like sitting there looking at monitors and things like that. I kept getting like visions of that. So I remembered that later on, and I thought maybe what happened is it wasn't really, you know, maybe it could, this could have been like Project Bluebeam testing or something like that on me. Really? I don't know. Or maybe they are monitoring it. For some reason, I kept getting that, like when I was like laying there trying to go back to sleep, kept getting like humans, like kind of like, and it made me think later on when I was thinking about the stuff again, Wizard of Oz, how at the end of the movie, it's where you find out it's just some dude behind a curtain controlling.
That movie's a fucking trip, dude. I need to watch that again with my current mindset.
Yeah. And so it just kept, you know, and it messed me up in my life, because I started having a fear of good things happening to me. That's like whenever stuff would start going good, I'd remember, like, you know, these aliens like telling me, we're always gonna, you know, you're never gonna be nothing, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it's like a lot of verbal abuse from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I wonder, do you possibly entertain the idea that this could have been something more physical, like something more real? Yeah, go ahead.
So I don't really know what happens after that part, because I didn't end up making the deal, but I'm guessing, you know, most other people, you know, or I was also thinking maybe this is how they kidnap like slaves for like the whole Mars slave trade type thing, you know?
Mars slave trade. What is this?
Yeah. I guess I've heard people before saying like, there's like, you know, a lot of abductions and, you know, how there's all these people going missing and stuff like that. They're being like kidnapped and like taken, you know, slave traded across like different, you know, colonies and stuff like that, Mars and so on.
Like interplanetary slave trades?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. I've never heard that, honestly. But I wouldn't, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly. Nothing would right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. That's fucking nuts. So you think that, so there's a few options here. There's Blue Beam. Which you didn't know what Blue Beam was as a 12-year-old, I'm assuming.
Not at the time, yeah.
So Blue Beam is option A. Option B would be this is an actual alien force coming to slave trade you, whether it be, you know, intergalactic or interplanetary or just here on Earth, right? I mean, these are options.
Yeah.
Or I would say C could be like a mind control thing. These could have been people doing this. That's what I was going to ask you, referring to the whole real aspect, like if this was a more physical thing and there's some sort of underlying trauma. And I'm not a psychologist. I got to just say that, and I'm not trying to be right now. I just think that that would be something that I think a lot of people would say that are more anti-conspiracy or whatever you want to call it. They would say, like, you know, you suffered some trauma that night and you're remembering it this way. Or the fourth option, which, you know, I think that this is the one that you lean towards, and correct me if I'm wrong, but these were some sort of demonic entities that were disguising themselves in a way that your brain could realize what it was. And they wanted you to sacrifice one of your brothers to make a deal because of some bloodline that you are a part of. You're essentially kind of a chosen one in that aspect, but since you bailed on it, they kind of turned their back on you. But it seems like your life's going okay now. So I mean, yeah, correct me on anything, any of that I'm wrong about.
Yeah, it's so I didn't really, like, you know, when I woke up right after the whole experience, it was like one of those things I just kind of like, oh shit, I'm still alive. You know, like, and it was daytime, and so my family and everything, they're in the kitchen. And I get up and I run in there. Oh, you know, oh, this happened to me, blah, blah, blah. I had the reptilian alien trying to, you know, make a deal with the devil thing with me, right? And, you're just having a dream. It was just a bad dream. So for me, it was like a feeling of like isolation. And that's why I'm coming on here and saying this kind of stuff, because I was like, I know I'm not crazy. I know what I went through, you know? And it's like, if I just forget, oh yeah, I'm crazy for this happening to me, then for the rest of my life, I'm a robot. I'm just going to pretend like this kind of event just never happened, just so I could fit into society. So yeah. I was like, no, I'm never gonna forget about this. Like, this happened to me, and it's even though it messed me up, but you know, I
well, it's not like you can't fit into society acknowledging that this shit happened.
Yeah, because everyone's just going to think you're just crazy when you say this kind of stuff. But
except for us in this community.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have told me crazy paranormal stuff, and then when you bring it up again in front of like other people, they'll pretend like it never happened. You know, and I noticed that when I was a kid. Yeah, you know?
That's like one of those freaking friends that's like really nice to you, and it's just you and him, and he's like a popular kid. And then, like, when you're in front of a bunch of people, he's like making fun of you and like throwing shit at you and stuff. It's exactly like that, dude.
So it's like, you know, telling this kind of stuff makes, you know, isolates you and makes you feel like you kind of, you know, I just kind of had to accept it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And bury it.
And so I just don't really think about it, you know, too much. Like, I mean, I do, you know, and it was the other weird thing, it was a few days before I hit like puberty. That's kind of, I know it's kind of weird, Sam, but in the occult aspect of it, you know, it was like how they are, how they're weird for their sacrifices and stuff. Yeah, maybe they're going to sacrifice me.
Shit, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it kind of had to, like, it was a, like an underhanded way of like getting permission that there was a sacrifice allowed. And instead of sacrificing your diabetic brother, they were going to sacrifice you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. You know, cause I'm only looking from a victim's perspective, you know?
Sure.
And
maybe they were trying to turn you into a predator, dude. Were you ever like picked on as a kid, or like kind of like, I don't want to use the term like beta, but were you like a type that would get picked on or that would,
Oh no, I'm a fighter. I kind of had anger issues. I was like a short temper kind of dude, you know?
Well, that could feed into it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I went straight to like the predator versus prey thing, but like, you know, the idea of a prey type situation where you always hear about like these great exorcism movies. And I understand that they're movies, but art imitates life in a major, major way.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you see like in a lot of these exorcism movies, it's like the most innocent little girl or the most innocent boy. It's never like some fucking little kid that kills animals or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I thought that. But yeah, obviously, if you have rage issues, wrath is one of those deadly sins. Maybe they were coming after you because of that. But I find it interesting, dude. I do want to get back to your dad, though, man, because I felt we left that kind of open. But this is it's a perfect spot because as I'm thinking here, this is genetic. Do you tend to agree with that, or do you think that this was a random thing?
Possibly, because I do. I did my ancestry.com thing, and it said I'm 9% Jewish, which kind of go like European Jewish, I guess. And I guess that, you know, and I guess the story was, one of the grandfathers or something like that, he was a Jewish guy coming over to America, and I guess they wouldn't let, back in the day, they were kind of like a racist, said against Jews, you know. No. Real bad up in the
north. When? So,
I guess like well, he,
I'm just,
I don't
kidding
know.
Dude, they were they're still racist to Jews.
Yeah I'm sorry, but they wouldn't let him off the boat or something like that unless he said he was a Catholic. So he basically like stayed on the boat and like starved for weeks.
Oh wow! Just like, so yeah. Instead of folding, he was just like, "No, fuck you! I'm gonna stand by my faith."
Yeah, and then he you know, got out and I guess started working on, you know, got with started working with the Irish on the railroads and stuff like that.
Okay.
But but with him everyone else just was like, oh, that's just a dream and blah, blah, blah. But what, you know, my dad, shortly after that, you know, we were hanging out getting pizza or something like that. And, in the parking lot, he's like, tell me your story. He's like, let me know what happened. So I explained it to him and stuff like that. And he's like, that's good. You know, blah, blah, blah. And, he started telling me like, yeah, I believe in that stuff, you know. I believe in aliens and things like that. And he told me this one story he had one time, where they were, watching over some base, you know, and, there's a guy like 200 meters behind him or something like that, you know, like they're kind of like spread out like that. And they're watching this base. And all of a sudden he said he saw a UFO, like a giant spacecraft, you know, lift off from the base or whatever, like, and just fly off. And the dude that was behind him was like, hey man, did you see that? And he's like, I didn't see anything, you know, because he knew that their headsets were being like monitored too, you know, they're always listening to what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I didn't see nothing. And then he said shortly after that, some dudes in suits, you know, sat them down and talked to him about it, you know, what'd you see and stuff like that.
Are we talking Men in Black type shit?
Yeah, and he told it like the guys, he's like, hey man, y'all didn't see nothing. You tell me.
Wow. And to clarify, your father was Navy, right?
Yeah, he was in the Navy. He was Naval
intelligence?
Yeah, he was a corpsman when he first joined, enlisted at 17, and he went in Vietnam as a corpsman. So he saw a lot of gruesome things, he told me about. And he's actually a Silver Star recipient. Wow. And I wanted to bring that up, like, about the two flag thing, not like the kind of guy that's like showing off, who he is and blah, blah, blah. He don't care about, he was like a super humble guy, And the two flag thing, I don't want to, cause I know that's upsetting to people. Cause what's that about, like you have a loved one and everything like that, who's a veteran. Why didn't they get two flags? Type thing like that. So that goes back with the two flag thing. But he was the kind of guy, like, he didn't even want his Silver Star, he said, because he said for him to get that, a lot of people had to die and, things like that. And he's like, he didn't really want it because of that weird feeling, but he said he's going to receive it in their honor, for the ones that didn't get to make it back. Mm. So he's like, he was a very, humble person. And, wow. But he passed away recently, and on his I was kind of like hanging out, taking care of him, stuff like that. So we were just chit chatting. I was bringing up my alien story with him, he ended up telling me another one of his that he kind of just forgot about because he didn't want my mom to think he was crazy. And, leave him, So, he said he woke up one night and, he heard a noise because he woke up, heard a noise, got up, to check what it was. And then he said, right when he was getting near the door, he looked over in the corner of the room and saw a gray alien standing in the corner of the room, just like what you would think they look like. And then he said he passed out or something like that, and ended up like waking up like right away type thing, like, and he was like, oh, that's just a weird dream or something like that,
kind of like you.
Yeah Oh, that's just a weird dream. Oh, I don't know what that was all about. And then he goes into the kitchen. My younger brother, he's kind of like only old enough to kind of talk a little bit, mm-hmm. He doesn't remember this, but he walks in there to the kitchen, and my younger brother goes, hey dad, I was with you last night. And my dad looks down and I'm like, what did you say? Cause he just had that weird dream. He said, I was with you last night. My dad said, where? And he said, my little brother pointed up to, towards the air and said, there. And my dad was just shocked. He was like, I can't believe this, because it's like something, your kid is sitting there telling you you were abducted or something like that, and you had this weird dream thing with the alien, and it kind of connected into real life like the next morning.
Did you guys have a two-story house?
I think this happened when we were living. It was a one-story, like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's a different house than my experience.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so he said he just forgot about that experience because he didn't want my mom to think he was crazy.
Yeah. Sure. Well, sure. But, yeah.
But he brought it up to me, and then one time, I don't know if it's the morphine and stuff like that, from fighting the cancer, but I walked by him and he just like grabs him. He's like, Ron. He says, I was taken to the moon. I'm like, what? Wow. And he goes, he's like, they took me up there and they gave me a tour, and it's just like that with the aliens and the humans walking around, just working together.
And who's they? The Grays?
No, he said just, I think it was just some people or something like that.
And so the gray incident, like you said, he forgot about. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to clarify this for myself. So he was told to forget about, or he told himself to just forget about the gray incident. so that your mother didn't get upset about it or think he was a nut. And then on a separate occasion, these people gave him a tour on the moon for whatever reason.
But this happened on his deathbed, while he was on his deathbed. And I guess I was like, well, were you walking? And he was like, yeah. It's like, what? And, you know, I don't know if this just is from the morphine, the story and stuff, but
sure.
He would like, but there's other stories with him, but, he says that they, took him up there, but before he got to go up there, he said he had to watch a bunch of like videos about like different things, like customs and stuff like that, you know? And then they took him up there. And he said, it's just like on the back of the moon, it's just like a base, it's like a city and everything like that. And he said that he kind of like went inside of it, and he just like, they just walked him around and showed him things. But the one thing he was, you know, cause he's on his deathbed, and you know, who knows if this is just, you know, from the thing, but he was telling me, he's like, the cool thing, he thought was, he was walking by, and he said, there's a guy like looking down his little tablet thing doing whatever. And, like two big like aliens, like white, I guess he was describing the tall white grays, you know, the tall white aliens. He said they just were walking by, doing whatever they were doing. He said it was just crazy to see the guy, like it was nothing to him, you know, like he sees that every day, like he sees aliens walking around like all the time. It ain't no big deal to him. And for my dad seeing like all these aliens and things like that walking around, like some Men in Black type looking stuff, he's like, wow, this is like, but he said that he was expressing that to me about how you know how crazy he thought that was, you know, like this guy's been there, done that, he's already seen all these aliens, it ain't no thing to him, you know.
Yeah. And so and you know, you acknowledge the fact that it's a possibility that this was just a morphine trip, but if it was not a morphine trip, what you're saying is that your dad, who is bedridden, essentially on his deathbed, correct?
Yep.
He was taken while he was sick up to the moon.
I guess they must have done something, healed him up. Made him able to walk again, because he was in a wheelchair towards the end of his life.
And yeah, just, yeah.
And then took him back to his deathbed to pass away.
And did he die shortly after telling you the story?
A few days later.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
That's fucking intense, dude.
Yeah. And there was another thing like with him. We got back from going out to eat, and, you know, he was like a super tough guy. So even though he had MS and everything like that, he was stage 4 cancer. I had to pee, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go inside his bathroom. You got this, Dad? He's like, oh, yeah, I got this. You know, I pulled his chair up for him and everything like that. And so I ran in there real quick, and I came back out. And when I walked up to him, he had this, like, look of shock on his face. And I'm like, what? And he's like he started telling me. He took him for a second, but he's like, when he got in the car, the truck, he tripped and started to fall. And he's, you know, if he would have hit that ground and fell, he'd probably died right there, you know. He said as he was starting to fall, he said he felt like a force grab him and like pull him back onto his chair, like really hard.
Wow, that's
and stuff like that. Cool. That's and he cool. turns, he turns around because he thought it was me, and he turns around, there's nothing there. And he's like freaked out, because he said when he was thinking it was me looking around, nothing's there. He said, I walk back out. He sees me walking out towards him, you know. Wow.
That's so fucking nuts, dude. If you don't mind me asking, man, how old was your father when he ended up passing away? Just to kind of paint the picture.
I'm super bad with days. But I think he was 65.
65, okay.
Yeah, he was, suffered a spine injury or something, or it was just from just one day he had to go to the hospital. I guess he got shocked, and I used to joke with him, oh, that's probably because you pissed some people back off in your military days. And he's like, probably. And we were talking about like direct energy weapons, maybe they'd like zap him or something like that, try to take him, use a dew on him or something like that. But he lived through it, and we would joke like that. And, so, But yeah, he was a super fit, you know, kind of guy. Like we would go to the gym with him, and he'd be he's only like 5'8", 180, 90 pounds, but he would max out all the weight machines.
Really?
Like for his reps, you know, and everything like that. And you know, and one time, you know, with the pool cleaning business, he had a pool cleaning business and everything. And one of the guys whose house we cleaned was a Green Beret colonel, and I guess he knew my dad from the Vietnam days. So while I'm cleaning his pool, him and my dad are like chatting and stuff. They, you know, they knew and each other and stuff in the pool too. And he was like, "Yeah, your dad was, you know, was a heck of a guy back in the Vietnam days," type of thing, you know. And my dad, you know, just kind of like bragging about my dad and stuff. And I even got to see Black Hawk Down before it got released in theaters to the public. Dope. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He knew some people there. So they gave him three tickets. Me and my older brother and me went and saw it. And it was pretty cool because, you know, I'm just a civilian, you know, some little brat, little kid, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in there with all these, you know, dangerous looking guys and stuff. And
some hard motherfuckers, yeah.
Yeah. And whenever there was action going, there's bullets flying over their head, they're like cheering, like, yeah, yeah. And
that's dope.
And I was like thinking, like, wow, these guys, these guys are crazy. Like, what are they, you know, they think that's cool. And but the serious part stuck in, though, at the end of the movie, I guess, you know, because they were there and they're involved and they knew the people and stuff like that. You know, they're all huddled up, you know, crying. And I'm seeing these big, scary looking guys kind of like having a moment crying, you know, and stuff like that, comforting each other. My dad's just like, just walk out, you know, just walk out. Don't look, you know, and stuff like that. And I remember we were in a car leaving. And he goes, "So what do you think about that? You know, you going to join the military, you know, and stuff like that." And I was like, I don't want to do that. And he's like, "Well, you got to be the support guy. You know, you're not going to go in there and be one of these kind of, you know," because he was kind of like, maybe like, let me show, you know, because I used to brag, "Oh, yeah, you know," and all that kind of stuff, because you watched the movies, you played the video games. But I got to see the effects of it in real time, you know, like,
yeah.
The hardship at the end, you know, that's the stuff people don't really see. You see all the cool stuff, you don't really see the, so I was like, you know, I'm big on, supporting the troops, and it's a regret I never joined, but,
me too, man.
You know, yeah. I'm always going to be there. I'm, you know, be the, you know, militia to protect, you know, what they fought for, you know,
the home front. Yeah, dude.
Home front. Yeah.
So I wanted to get into this really interesting, Gematria type stuff, the numerology that you've been sending me.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that I had never heard that you showed me was that odd numbers are masculine and even numbers are feminine. And it makes sense if you look at it. First of all, you've got that binary code where it's all ones and zeros, which ties right into that, I'm assuming. But then, you know, on a more crude level, but maybe not so crude at all, is a one kind of looks like a penis, right?
Yeah.
And a zero kind of looks like a vagina. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that those are the first two out of all of the things. But then you have the 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, which are masculine, obviously, because they're odd. And then 0, 2, 4, 6, 8 are feminine. And the whole idea with the Star of David and all this stuff, but I want to start wherever you want to, because this is stuff that I hadn't heard. And how did you learn about this?
You know, this is a few years after my deal with the devil experience. And so I'm just in high school one day, and one of my classmates just, you know, "Hey, let me, you know, show you something cool," or whatever, you know. You know, and he started writing the number thing down. He said, you know, the way we explain the universe is with those digits. That's our expression. That's like, you know, we use those symbols to describe the known physical universe, and it's, you know, how it all, you know, applies within. And so he stretched the numbers out. 0 to 9, He had a zero in there, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And he said, you know, you got to look within. You know, you got to break it down. The kingdom of God's within. So he, like a rainbow, you took go from like 0 to 9, from 1 to 8. I mean, wait, I do. Yeah. 0 to 9, 1 to 8, 2 to 7, and so on down to the middle. And it creates 5 9s. So that can be, you know, that's like God, God is within. So from there, Adam comes from God. And we think like Adam or atom, you know, like the atom.
Yeah, like atomic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that comes from God. So that's why.
Well, everybody, that was the free portion of my conversation with Ron Weed. Fun dude. Very, very nice guy and brave for talking about his story and his experiences. Head on over to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, and you'll see the rest of the stuff that we talked about. We get into gematria and some of this crazy numerological stuff that he kind of found out by mistake.